إمام محمد رضا، إمام أهل السنة، إمام أحمد رضا، إمام محمد رضا، إمام أهل السنة، إمام أحمد رضا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program, Imam of Ahle Sunnah. In this program, we talk about different dimensions of this great personality, genius, Sayyidi Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. And today, the topic which we've selected for you today, that is Science and Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we've got our guest speaker, Dr. Khurram, and who has got in-depth study about Allah's life, and especially in the dimension of science. Inshallah, we'll be talking on this very topic. And we've got our brother Nasir with us, who will recite Naat. We'll also include one kalam of Allah's rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and we'll explain that in English for you, and Naat Khan brother will also recite it. So be with us from start to end today. An immense amount of knowledge, interesting piece of knowledge you're going to get. But before we proceed towards our main topic, let's make few good intentions. Our Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Uttar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any good deed or any permissible task. I make this intention, inshallah, that I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You all should make this intention. You will be with us from start to end. You'll remember what you learn, you'll act upon. Not only that, you'll pass this knowledge on to others too. Let's go to our panel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. How are you?
Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much for coming in this program. Nasir bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you? You okay? MashaAllah, jazakallah for coming. Subhanallah. Today, dear respected viewers, we are going to talk about science and Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. No doubt he was a faqih, he was mujaddid, he was alim, he was scholar, he was genius in terms of religious knowledge. But subhanallah, in his works, we also find some pieces, some extractions, even some of the topics he has written books on. And when we see them, we find out many sciences, many branches of knowledge, they appear in his work. And I would like to quote a few of them. As the modern sciences are concerned, their knowledge is also reflected in the works of Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Physics, zoology, mineralogy, chemistry, pharmacy, medicine, finance, economics, statistics, commerce, geography, geology, political science, international relations, mathematics, you name, subhanallah, many branches of sciences. Ulama, they've written, dear respected viewers, that some of them, they've written, he had commands on 50 branches of knowledge. Some, they said 75 or more. Some, they said 100 branches of knowledge he had command on. But the scholars, they believe that this is what we have been able to understand, the knowledge he possessed, the knowledge he was granted by Allah Ta'ala. This is what has been discovered so far. You never know, in the future course of time, there are so many other branches of knowledge which can also be discovered from his work. So far, 100 branches of knowledge, it seems that Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has written on these topics, and they have been written by the researchers, those they have researched. Let's go towards our guest speaker, Dr. Khurram Nisar Attari. Doctor, today's topic is science and Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala. Being a medical student, definitely those they are medical students, they have got study, in-depth study of science also. So definitely you would be the very right person to speak on this subject. How would you start when it comes to the knowledge of science and Allah Hazrat Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman as a scientist?
So, Jazakallah khairah for offering me the opportunity to discuss on this topic, because you're absolutely right. I think If I could summarize it in one word, I would say that Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala is the neglected giant of the East. All his services to science, they have somehow been curtained over by everything, you know, by all this, the cloud and the smoke around him. Otherwise, if we look closely, and as you said, over command over 120 subjects, and that's not, you know, command to an extent where he could offer something. He could actually be in a position to teach. And
he had also written something on that. You find books and pieces of extractions from his works, isn't it?
Absolutely right. That if you look at the over 120 subjects in which he had such a great command on, and we think of him as an Islamic scholar, as a revivalist. But what we forget is that in addition to what he offered, his deep understanding of different branches of science through his jurisprudence, through all the Islamic rulings he gave, he actually wrote standalone books. Over 1,000 books were written by Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And there are standalone books on these different subjects of science. So just to give you an example, if you look at numerology, he has written 11 books just on numerology. And if I could give a couple of examples, so Ata'ib al-Iksir fi ilm al-Taksir, that's one example. Hashiya ad-Durr al-Maknoon, then he has written 1,152 Murabba'at, they're all examples of, and Mujtal al-Urus. So these are just some examples of those 11 books he wrote on numerology. If we look at logarithm, which is, you know, considered part of the modern mathematics, exactly. Yeah. He has written 8 books on logarithm. So it's, again, just to give you some examples of that. So he has got Al-Muhawbat fil Murabba'at, then Kitab al-Rasmar Tabaqa, and Al-Budur fil Awujil Majzur. So again, some of the examples of his book on logarithm. If you look at his examples on trigonometry, which is again another branch of science.
Right. Mathematics.
Mathematics. He has written, so Risala Ilm Musallas, then there is Bujuh Zawaya Musallas Kurvi. So these are all different parts of trigonometry, and he's written standalone books on that. If you look at algebra, he's written 4 books. If you look at mathematics, so these are some examples of that, he's written 31 books on mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at astrology, he's written over 22 books in the subject of astrology. This is just 5 examples of over 120 subjects which he had command on.
And he was not a graduate of mathematics or astrology or all these sciences you're naming. But
exactly. Absolutely. And that famous incident from Sir Ziauddin, who's the Vice Chancellor of the university, when he was so impressed by his knowledge of trigonometry, the thesis which Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala had written, very famous incident, he, when he was asked, where did you learn all of this?
Allahu Akbar.
And he said, you know, my respectable father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullah Ta'ala, when I tried to read more, I had learned 4 basic principles: addition, division, subtraction, multiplication. When I tried to read more, my respectable father said, Ahmad Raza, you don't need to waste your time on this. Focus on Islamic studies, and by the grace of that, everything else will be awarded to you.
Subhanallah.
So what you're seeing, this is an award. You haven't even seen my actual knowledge, my actual specialty, my specialization. So, and this again highlights that the examples of this, hundreds of books is written on these different branches of science, on the subject of time, which is a discussion topic for quantum physics, you know, the latest branch of physics. There are people who are talking about time and its direction, its flow, and Sayyid Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he had written books on just this concept of time. So there are over 8 books which is written on that. And one of the very famous one is Azij al-Awqat al-Sawm al-Salat. So that's where he extracted times for the prayers and then Istimbat al-Awqat, then Al-Anjib al-Aniq. All of these examples of just the concept of time. So so these are things which our modern students don't even know of. And if I were to ask some, you know, a student of a modern university or a school, even if he'd heard of the name of Imam Ahlus Sunnah, he would probably remember him as an Islamic scholar.
True.
He doesn't even know all of this which he's offered in the branches. We'll discuss his services to physics, how he's talked about time, how
sound,
sound, light, water, atmosphere, environment, all of these topics which are so relevant to us. He wrote about them over a century ago, and they're still, based on those concepts, are as relevant as they were there today, they were at that time.
MashaAllah. One beautiful point you mentioned, that Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he always believed that my father had told that learn the basic principles and other will be granted to you. And one beautiful example, when he writes the name of his great work, which was the verdicts he had given, the rulings on Islamic rulings, subhanAllah, fatawa. So he writes the name Al-Ataya Al-Nabawiya Fil Fatawa Al-Rabawiya. So when he writes the name of this book, which is around 33 volumes, massive work he had done, and he refers that this is a grant from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the award from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he worked on religious knowledge, so other knowledges, other branches of sciences, they were awarded from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and Prophet Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, isn't it?
Absolutely. Beautiful example. So this is, despite the fact that thousands of that jurisprudence rulings were actually lost in time, so this is what we could find and what we could compile. 6,847 questions he's answered in Fatawa Radawiya, with over 33 volumes, as you said, over 22,000 pages cover that. And this is the extracted version from that with some explanation. In that, under the discussion, he writes 206 booklets.
Allah.
So for one question, he would sometimes reply by writing a whole booklet.
As normally, some of the Muftiyani Kiram, when they give verdict, they say, okay, yes, no, jaiz, najaiz, okay, halal, haram. So in two words or three words or one line, an answer. But subhanAllah, the knowledge of Allah, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he writes books.
That's right.
On just one question.
Exactly. That was the beauty. So all of that 206 booklets are covered just in this one book. So as I said, 1,000 books were written, and these 206 booklets, they come under one book. And the one of the beautiful thing is when you're talking about the preamble, the preface, the, look at the beauty of the preface which he had written in Fatawa Radawiya, that, you know, that khutbah which is written. Sure. 90 names he brought in that khutbah. And the scholars say that anyone who can read that khutbah is an alim himself.
Wow.
And in that, he brought the names of all the books which were written before. And in addition, there were names of people as well. So he brought the name of Aimma Ikram, of the books, and he brought them to describe the grandeur of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what I want to highlight quickly, that when it comes to writing on a topic, you know, where you say, look, now someone has written so much that it's impossible to expand upon that. That is the quality of Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. And actually, that also comes under a branch of science which has been not very well reflected and it's relatively unknown, and that's taxonomy.
Yeah.
So I've said about this example, 90 names, which he's brought the different names and joined them together. It's like beautiful pearls in a rosary, the way Sayyidi Alayhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has done. So one question comes to him again in Fatawa Radawiya Sharif regarding funeral prayer. And a question was asked about funeral prayer. And in answer to that, he wrote 57 pages to answer this one question of funeral prayer.
Allahu
Akbar. Under that, he brought 130 pieces of evidence from the prior 1,300 years of books. He brought 133 evidence. And in total, if you count the references in bibliography, 207 references he gave to support his ruling.
Right.
207 references. That is an answer to one question. Another question came to in Kitabun Nikah, and there was a question around that. He gave 90 books as reference to answering one question in Fatawa Radawiya Sharif. Then somebody asked him a question about Sajda. He brought 40 ahadis and 150 pieces of evidence again to support his viewpoint.
Nasir, I would like to stop you here, because viewers of Madani Khan could be thinking that they've got a topic that is related to science, but they're talking about his fatawa. So if you could elaborate, what is taxonomy, and how are you relating that to the works of Allah, that will better understand it for the viewers?
Absolutely. So I think taxonomy is the branch which helps, it's a branch of science which helps with classification.
Yeah.
So for example, if we look at all the species which are found in the world,
right.
So we have a species of humans, we have species of animals, of plants, of invertebrates. So all science students, biology students would
know
that we classify them, and that is called taxonomy. So we have taxonomy of viruses, a very relevant topic nowadays. Right. So when we talk about coronavirus, that is part of taxonomy. Somebody read it to decide that it falls under this family and under this branch of this family. That's why it should be called coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2. That is one example of taxonomy.
Right.
So when you have a lot of knowledge about, for example, viruses or bacteria or even humans, what you want to do is one of the signs is to actually bring it all together and do an algorithm or a flow chart,
right,
which then helps to at one glance you can see where does this particular animal fit,
right,
where does this particular organism fit. That comes in a taxonomy. So nobody has ever demonstrated it so beautifully, perhaps in the history, as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala did when he said, let me show you how it's done. You are classifying animals and humans and plants and shrubs and herbs. I'll classify all the books which have been written on this topic. And so if a reader wanted to, and then the other thing which is important here is that everybody knows that when you talk about the very high ranking journals, be it in medical science or human sciences or whatever it is, the more references someone has given, the more authentic that piece of evidence is, that piece of research.
Definitely.
Is. Because it basically shows that this person has read in depth all the prior knowledge.
And supported with evidence.
So that's why we are always looking for evidence. Where is the evidence for that? That is the beauty of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. He does not leave it to the reader to go and find out. He says, let me give you the evidence. I have read these books. Let me show you. These are the examples of this. So that's what he's done. Meat, for example, so we eat different, kinds of meat.
Right.
But which parts of meat, of halal meat, should not be eaten? So a lot of different scholars had written, some had given 5 examples, 7 examples, these things. Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala brought it all together using his knowledge of taxonomy and classification, and he said 22 pieces of meat which shouldn't be eaten, even in halal meat. And scholars have written that no one has ever compiled that list in the history before. When someone questioned very famous Durood-e-Taj, and someone questioned about the Holy Prophet attribute, which is Dafil Balai wal Wabai. So that is no good. So someone questioned that and said, can we use those words for the Holy Prophet? Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he wrote one book, Al Amn wal Ula, and he brought 300 ahadith to confirm that it is absolutely fine and desirable to say Dafil Balai wal Wabai. That is what his understanding of science, that if you want to explain something, this is the way to do it. And he all used scientific principles for that.
MashaAllah, beautiful. Many respected members of Madani Sharif, now it's the time to include one kalam of Al Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala as per our format of the program. Today we have selected a beautiful kalam of Al Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayh. That is, Ham khaak hain aur khaak hi ma'wa hai hamara, khaaki to wo Adam jale aala hai hamara. We are dust, and indeed our refuge is the dust. Indeed our forefather Adam was also created from dust. Subhanallah. Al Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayh is talking about that we are dust, we have been created from dust. And actually, he is referring to one of the ayahs of Quran where it says, هو الذي خلقكم من تراب منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. So here, subhanAllah, as we know that the poetry of Allah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayh is also a shara of Quran. So he is bringing those beautiful explanations or the text from the Quran, what has been mentioned in Quran, he brings in his Naat, and he says that Jari Ala, our forefather Adam ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu salam, was also created from dust. We are also dust. So our indeed refuge is also dust. Ham khaak hai aur khaak hi ma'wa hai hamara, khaaki to wo Adam, Jari Ala hai hamara.
ہم خاک ہیں اور خاک ہی ماوا ہے ہمارا، ہم خاک ہیں اور خاک ہی ماوا ہے ہمارا، خاکی تو وہ آدم جد آلہ ہے ہمارا، خاکی تو وہ آدم جد آلہ ہے ہمارا.
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. انہوں نے کمپلیٹ آلہ رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ فیض، جس خاک پہ رکھتے تھے قدم سید عالم، اس خاک پہ قربان دل شیدا ہے ہمارا. اللہ اکبر. He says the dust upon which tread the feet of the creation's leader, my devoted heart wills to be sacrificed upon that dust. That is self-explanatory. Subhanallah. He's talking about Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's blessed feet are touched to the dust of Medina. May my heart be sacrificed onto that dust. Subhanallah. This khaak pe rakhte the
kadam. Jis khaak pe rakhte te kadam سید عالم، جس خاک پہ رکھتے تھے قدم سید عالم، اس خاک پہ قربان دل شہدا ہے ہمارا، اس خاک پہ قربان دل شہدا ہے ہمارا.
سبحان اللہ. Another couplet Allah writes, خم ہو گئی پشت فلک اس طعن زمین سے، سن ہم پہ مدینہ ہے یہ رتبہ ہے ہمارا. اللہ اکبر. سبحان اللہ. Dear respected viewers, this is one of the masterpieces of Allah رحمت اللہ تعالیٰ. His poetry, Allah is writing the conversation between sky and the earth. Allah Akbar. And this conversation happened when the sky said, I am elevated, my status and my maqam and rutbah is elevated and high. Allah Akbar. When the earth replied to this conversation, the earth said, Sun hum pe madina hai ye rutba hai hamara. When the sky heard this, it bent forwarded like this. That's the reason the sky looks like this, bent it. Allah is saying metaphorically why the sky looks bent. The reason is the sky bent forward in humility upon hearing this from the earth. Listen, such is my honor, the city of the Prophet rests upon my dust. Sun hum pe Madina hai, wo rutba hai hamara.
ہم ہو گئی پوچھتے پلک اس طعن زمین سے، ہم ہو گئی پوچھتے پلک اس طعن زمین سے، سن ہم پہ مدینہ ہے وہ رتبہ ہے ہمارا، سن ہم پہ مدینہ ہے وہ رتبہ ہے ہمارا.
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. Doctor, this is Allah رحمت اللہ تعالیٰ and how beautifully he is explaining subhanallah in the poetry. But we were talking about the science in Allah as a topic. What are the branches of science Allah seems to write in his works?
So it just actually this the couplet reminded me how beautifully he's talked about celestial bodies. So he's talked about earth, the sky. So a beautiful branch of science is astrology, which talks about celestial bodies.
Right.
So again, to give you an example, so this branch of science, astrology and astrophysics, which again is now very prevalent at the moment, but there was a time when there was a lot of confusion around it, because also people did not understand the motion of these celestial bodies and how all these planets work and the sun and the stars and all of that. So now again, remember, it's important to contextualize that we are talking about times over a century ago. Knowledge has moved on a lot since then. at that time, there was a very famous professor, Albert F. Porter,
right,
from USA, who basically gave a prediction that on 17th December of 1919, so the First World War had just finished, a year after, 17th December 1919, I have read the planetary motion, and on that particular day, there will be six celestial bodies which will come together and destroy the Earth. So that was his prediction he gave. He was a very famous professor, and that caused a huge uproar around the world. And obviously, those were not the days of social media. So it takes, from newspapers. So there's Express News, which was published from India.
Right.
So they covered that as a top story, and that caused a wave of fear, even amongst Muslims.
Right.
So that, the famous professor has said, and something terrible is going to happen, and it will be cataclysmic, and there will be a huge collision, and this will be doomsday. Right. That's how the prediction was. And Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, who of course is the guardian of the principles of Quran, and he said, believers, you need to research something. When news comes, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala orders us in the Holy Quran, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. You need to research it. So where is your research? And then Sayyidina Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala said, so now it falls upon me to safeguard the faith, the iman of our believers, of my Muslim brothers, of the ummah. Sayyidina Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, now look at the depth of his knowledge in this branch of astrology. So he wrote a paper at that time, and that paper he brought 17 arguments. And then he actually made a very subtle remark at towards the end and said, because he said it would happen on 7th December, hence I have brought 17 pieces of evidence against his point.
Subhanallah.
And if I wanted, I could bring 10,000. But I would just leave it there because 17 would suffice.
Because he had ilm al-ladunni, no doubt.
Absolutely, because it was all inspired knowledge. And then in that, he based on the planetary motion, he calculated the angles of motion of the planets. He looked at the laws of attraction, looked at the relative densities of the materials. He looked at the Earth's diameter. Then he also looked at time differences across different parts of the globe. He looked at the laws of motion and stress. And then he published the exact position of where Earth would be at that time, which he had predicted, and used all of that, and he drew beautiful diagrams, which actually readers can still go and see. They are present in his book. And he used those diagrams to show exactly where the Earth would be and proved that nothing would happen on 17th December. The Earth would, the life would continue as normal. And the day came and went and nothing happened.
Subhanallah.
And then this was then covered by all big media outlets.
Subhanallah.
That an Islamic scholar, a scholar of Muslims, has proved a famous scientist wrong by actually using his own principles, so the principles which he used the same principles of science. And he said this was his command on the laws of astrology, but again, why he did that? To safeguard the faith of Muslims.
Also, it is written that Mawlvi Barkat Ahmed Sahab Siddiqui Pili Bheti, he says that Alan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali had a command that he could figure out exact time after watching at the motion of planets and the stars. And when it was checked on the watch, it would exactly match to the seconds, same time. So what would you say onto this beautiful command of Allah?
Absolutely. So this was, mashallah, his command on what is ilm al-tawqid, or the knowledge of time. So obviously this is one of the skills which is now nearly extinct, because obviously we now have watches and clocks. But in those days, despite the fact they were available, Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he had such great command on the planetary motion, the motion of stars, and all the celestial bodies, that just by looking at them, right, which used to happen in old days before the clocks, that people would actually define dimension, the way of travel, as well as the time of the day and night by looking at the moon, the stars, and the sun, and they could work it out. And Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, his knowledge of this branch of science was to that extent that he would be able to match up to second correct.
Subhanallah.
And that is not just here. I mean, in all the examples we say, look at, for example, deciding the times. So, for example, the Dawat Islami's app for prayer times. that is also based on the formulae which were given by Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. And by using that formula, wherever you are in the world, over 2.2 million cities have been covered in this app from Dawat Islami. All comes from one formula, which was based on a complex logarithmic formula, which Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala gave. Wherever you are in the world, with that, you can actually calculate up to second correct the time of prayer.
SubhanAllah. That's what once happened. Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he was off leading a salah. Salah of Fajr, and he lengthened the Qiraat, and Maulana Abdul Qadir, after the Salam, he had a doubt that maybe the time had finished.
That's right.
And we'd crossed the time for Fajr Salah, we should not cross the time. And when he rahmatullahi ta'ala went out to see the sun, so Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala mentioned that still 2 minutes and 48 seconds are still remaining
to sunrise.
Allahu Akbar.
Exactly. So that's how exact his knowledge was. So obviously he could read people. So obviously he could read. That's what they were worried about. And he said, don't worry, I have calculated
even
it all.
48 seconds.
Even 48
Allahu
seconds.
Allahu Akbar.
He say that. Absolutely. That's how incredible. And that, so it's, I mean, so time is one example. And, you know, we could discuss a lot about that in terms of, you know, with quantum physics and all of these branches of working. And Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala had such control. But similar to that, there's a very famous incident which happened, which was, so this is describing time. Then Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, where it comes inspired knowledge, the one step ahead, which is control of time. So when that astrologist came to Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and said, you know, I can draw a map and I can calculate when it's going to rain. And Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, you know that everything is in the control and command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So how can you predict that? And
beautiful.
He said, oh, I can do it. You know, I've been doing it for years and all of that. So he, you know, he said, Allah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, okay, well, do it. So he calculated and said, okay, there's no rain this week. It will come next week. And Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he said, well, if Allah Ta'ala wishes, then it can happen now.
It's possible.
It's possible. And, you know, everything is possible by his qudrat. So, and that time, that's, you know, so to, I guess to quickly shorten it, Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he said, well, how is that possible? This is my knowledge, you know, my knowledge of astrology and all of that, and based on that cloud motion and everything else, I can tell you. And Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, what's the time now? And he said, it was 11:45. How long to 12:30? 45 minutes. And is it possible that 12:30 could happen now? No, of course it'll happen after 45 minutes. Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi, he walked to the clock, turned the arms himself, and then it hit 12:30. And he said, well, this is what you have done. This was, otherwise it would not have happened. So Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. If Allah Ta'ala wishes, then it could happen now.
Subhanallah.
The moment he said that, it started to rain.
Subhanallah.
So that was his control. Of course, you know, it was his incredible
also, saintly miracles at the same time.
Exactly.
And belief also.
Exactly. But that was his belief, that whatever knowledge of science we have, we must not forget that science
should follow Islam.
Should follow Islam.
Islam shouldn't follow science.
Exactly. So science is a subordinate of Islam. It has to always submit to the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As long as it does so, there is no harm in learning it, no harm in propagating it. But if at any point you are in conflict between the religion and science, then you must remember that religion always takes priority.
So
that's what he showed. And there are, you know, so if we look at, so we talked a lot about physics. I want to quickly give example of chemistry.
Please.
Because that's another, you know, branch of science where, so we generally know of organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry.
Yeah.
The beauty of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is that he had incredible knowledge of both branches of chemistry. So I want to give a couple of examples here to just demonstrate. One is around, and again, the overriding theme has always been, it is in the context of Islam, of Sharia. So someone quite asked him about tayammum. So tayammum, obviously, when there is no water available and we want to attain cleanliness, then one of the things that Sharia teaches us is tayammum. So a question comes around tayammum, and the answer could have been very brief, that when you don't have water within this, you know, within a mile, for example, or the whatever the ruling is, it could have been explained. Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, when he answered this question, he gave 175 situations for where water may not be available.
No.
Why could that be? And scholars have written that prior to him, there were only 40 or 50 such scenarios mentioned in 1200 years history of Islamic books. Sayyidina Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala added to that list 175 situations, and then he gave 160 types of situations where it was okay to do wudu instead of tayammum, and he gave 146 examples of when it will be ineligible to do wudu and we should do tayammum. And related to that, then the question is, okay, well, water might be available, but it may not be clean. So then how do you decide which water is okay for wudu, which water is not okay for wudu? So, and similarly for tayammum, because for tayammum, things have to be from the origin of earth. So anything which is used for tayammum, it has to be from the origin should be from earth. So Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he wrote down a list of 311 things and said of these 181 you can do tayammum with, and of these 130 you cannot do tayammum with. And then he even said that of the 181, 74 are already known, and 107 I have added to the list based on the modern knowledge of all the substances which have been discovered since then. So this is geology, this is mineralogy, under the branch of inorganic chemistry. And he gave examples and said 107 I've added, and those where you can't do tayammum with, I have added another 72 to the prior list of 58. And then he also writes, he said, look at this and remember this list because you won't find it anywhere else. So one of the things which is important here is that to have command of science, that's different. To also know the limits of science, which have been in the last 12 centuries. So he knew that by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that look at this list because you won't find this list anywhere else. So by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, he knew everything which had been published up to that point. And then he gave that example. And the amazing thing was that this question came when someone asked him, can we use coral? The corals which are found in the oceans. The question was, can we do tayammum with coral? So he explained what a coral is. He discussed the origin of coral. He discussed the locations of coral. He discussed the physical characteristics of coral. He discussed all of that and then added this list and said there are 311 substances. All came in response to one question.
Subhanallah.
And he, you know, so there are here oceans of knowledge flowing. So how much knowledge he would need to know the substances, the chemistry, the physical characteristics, the chemical characteristics, the attributes of all the substances, to then be able to say...
And how many books he had already read to know all these, which have been already existing and mentioned in the books.
Exactly.
Subhanallah. Rashad, I would like to bring your attention towards one and another branch of knowledge, which Allah Azza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has mentioned. He has written about sound, and he's also written about light. If you talk about sound, he's written one complete book where he talks about sounds captured by the gramophone, right? And it is mentioned that he has also written about photography, okay? And where he has discussed about what is sound, okay, why does it produce, and how do we listen, right? And does it finish? Or it does it remain okay in the atmosphere? And he's talked about the existence of the sound when it touches to the ear and all that. Subhanallah. And does it exist even a person dies or not? So these are the subhanallah. I'm just mentioning a few of them which is written here. Could you please expand on this?
Yeah, so that's again, so now we're moving from chemistry to physics now. So his command on physics was such. So the two examples, so light is one and sound is another one. So the sound question actually came because in those days, the gramophone had been very prevalent, very common. And someone asked a question, can you record Quran in gramophone? And is it okay to listen to that? Obviously, now we're very used to CDs and DVDs and all of that. And some people who are antique collector, they might still have a gramophone, where there used to be this big plate which would revolve under a little needle. So obviously, that was in those days new. And the question was very sound, you know, that, can you hear?
What does Islam say about it?
What does Islam say about it? So an answer could have been very simple, which is, yes, it's permissible, or no, it's not permissible. It could have been very simple. In answer to that, Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he wrote a whole booklet
Allah.
And that was called Al-Kashf al-Shafiya fi Hukmi Phonographia. And he discussed the phonogram, the gramophone and how it works. And under that, he answered this, there's six characteristics he talked about sound. So he said, actually, in order to understand this, you first need to understand what is sound, mm-hmm. how it's produced,
yeah.
how does it propagate, how does it reach your ear? Does it reach inner ear or outer ear?
Subhanallah.
So now we know as medical students that the ear has three parts, external right. ear, middle ear, and internal ear.
Right.
And it is the internal ear's responsibility to listen to the sound, right. pass it on to the brain, and then there is a center in the brain which then interprets it for us to understand it.
Subhanallah.
And Sayyidi Ahlul Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he's talking about these different parts of ear.
Subhanallah.
And
Subhanallah.
Then and then under that, he actually covered the amplitude of sound waves, the reflection of sound waves, the rarefaction of sound waves, diffraction of sound
Beautiful.
Waves. And then he discussed the damped harmonic motion of waves, which then was actually known as a separate physical theory. Sayyidi Ahlul Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he discussed that. He also discussed for sound, you need a medium to travel, and that's why there is a difference between sound waves which travel in air versus the sound waves which can, whether they can travel in water. So if you try to speak underwater, we can't hear properly because the sound waves can't travel through, traverse through that medium of water. So Sayyidi Ahlul Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he discussed those differences as well.
Allah.
The density of air, the density of water.
Subhanallah.
And then one step further, just to complete on the topic of sound, another question came to him, and the question was around ultrasound. So question basically was, can you find out the gender of a baby mm-hmm. with an ultrasound? So again, for my viewers, just to understand, sound has different spectrum.
Right.
So human ear is able to hear between 20 decibels and 20,000 decibels.
Right.
So this decibel is a unit of sound. So between that, human ear can hear. Anything below 20 decibels
or above,
we can't hear. So anything which is over 20,000 decibels is called ultrasound. So examples of that, for example, bats. So bats can actually emit yeah. waves which travel at 35,000 decibels.
Right.
So they are blind. But then they can send those sound waves, and from the reflection of sound waves, bats can work out whether it is a tree in front of them or whether it's open air. So even bats have that quality, and that same principle is then used for sonar devices, which are used in underwater appliances. So for example, in the battles, for example, all these underwater devices, they use sonar, all based on this ultrasound example. So the ultrasound, I use it as a rheumatologist, I look at the joints of people, so I can find out whether they have inflammation or not, which is not visible to naked eye. But because of that difference of medium between an inflamed tissue and a normal tissue, ultrasound reflection will be different. Machine interprets it.
Right.
And then that is called piezoelectric phenomenon. And then it can help me whether it is inflamed joint or a normal joint.
Right.
Same is the thing with if it is a, you know, to try and find the gender of the baby, so using the ultrasound. So this question comes to Al-Hazrat before 1920.
Allah.
So we're talking about over 100 years ago. Someone sends him this question. And Sayyidi Ahlul Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he described ultrasound in response to that question. What is ultrasound? He described that and said, it's a very long discussion he actually held about all these the things which I'm just telling now. And then in the end, he said, of course, by the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is possible to know what's hidden inside mom's womb through ultrasound. And this is when ultrasound machines used to be the size of this room. They were not these little portable ones which I can now use through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Huge machines that used to be to cover the whole area. That's how primitive ultrasound technology was. And even then, Sayyidina Rahmatullah Ta'ala was able to predict that ultrasound can easily help identify that. And then the time showed that he was true well before his contemporaries could answer that question.
Beautiful, beautiful. My dear Islamic brothers, we're talking about a genius personality, scientist, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmat Rahman. The knowledge he possessed in science. Dear respected viewers, let's now include a few more couplets of Imam of Ahl Sunnah Ash-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmat rahman, in our segment Kalam of Raza. Alayhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes, Usne lakabe khak shahin shah se paya. Usne lakabe khak shahin shah se paya, jo haydare karrar ki maula hai hamara. Subhanallah. Hazrat Ali, karram Allah ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he had one laqab, and he used to love that laqab. and that was Abu Turab. And this was the laqab, the title of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, which he loved so much, which was given by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam to him. And Al-Hazrat is referring that title of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that usne laqabe khak shahin shah se paya, meaning Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem got this title from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, jo Haydar-e-Karrar ki maula hai hamara, who is our maula. And again, this maula here, the word, it is also an explanation of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam seems to say that man kuntu maula fahada aliyun maula. So dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is the beauty of Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He brings parts of a hadith in his poetry and he mentions subhanallah how beautifully in the poetry. Usne laqab-e khak shahan shah se paya.
Usne laqab-e khak shahan shah se paya. Usne laqab-e khak shahan shah se paya. Jo hai Haydar-e-Karrar ke maula hai hamara, jo hai Haydar-e-Karrar ke maula hai hamara.
Subhanallah. And then further he writes, hai khaak se ta'meer mazare shah kaunain, hai khaak se ta'meer mazare shah kaunain, ma'mur isi khaak se qibla hai hamara. Subhanallah. This word khaak, how beautifully he is bringing in different meanings. This is the command on the poetry of Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala. How eloquent personality he is. Allahu Akbar, he says, this is the dust from where the mazar, the shrine of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is being created. And again, the Qibla, the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is also created through this dust, through this khak. Actually, the stone, when you go, we are talking about science, inshallah, doctor will also talk about it. When you go into its origins, then definitely this stone is also from the dust itself. Allahu Akbar. And how beautifully Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes this word, and I think this also reflects his knowledge of science when he is using this, subhanallah, in this poetry. Hai khaak se ta'meer mazare shah kaun hai?
Hai khaak se ta'meer mazare shah kaun hai? Qibla hai hamara, ma'mur isi khak se hai qibla hamara.
And then finally he says, hum khak udayenge jo wo khak na paayi, abad raza jis pe madina hai hamara. Al-Hazrat says, O raza, the dust upon which the city of Prophet exists, we shall indeed be losers if we do not attain that dust. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, it could be his wish that he is buried in Madinatul Nabi Zalahallahu Shirfa wa Ta'zima. And ham khaak udayenge. This is a beautiful, you can say, proverb in Urdu, right? That if we are deprived from that, then we would really remain worried. Okay, and this is what Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala using that beautiful proverb in Urdu, which contains the word khaak. And he's bringing into this poetry, subhanallah, if we did not get that dust, hum khaak udayenge jo wo khaak na paayi. And Al-Hazrat says, abad raza jis pe madina hai hamara. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we die in Madinatul Nabi zadahallahu shirfa wa ta'zima. Wo din khuda kare ke madine ko jayein hum, khaake dare rasool ka surma banayein hum. Dil dard se bismil ki tarah laut raha ho, سینے پہ تسلی کو تیرا ہاتھ دھرا ہو, گر وقت اجل سر تیری چوکٹ پہ پڑا ہو, جتنی ہو قضا ایک ہی سجدے میں ادا ہو. ڈاکٹر صاحب, We're talking about science, and Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala, time doesn't permit me to take it further. Really, it's such an interesting and amazing topic, and mashallah, you're elaborating beautifully. In the concluding session, if you could say, we are just getting closer to end of this program, what beautiful branch of science which is written in the books of Allah Hazrat, or Allah Hazrat has explained, or you see him as a person who has command on that, would like to share with you.
So yeah, I mean, as you said, I mean, yeah, again, time can't, you know, we can't do justice to the scientific services, his endeavors in the field of science. So, you know, his understanding of modern medicine, how he understood about polypharmacy, the comorbidities, the comorbidity index, the impact of environment and atmosphere. There's so much talk about medicine. There's so much more to talk about the human sciences, the social sciences. He had such great command on. So one last example I just want to use is from physics again, on about light. And related to that is that, again, his we'll conclude by understanding why he did all of that. I think that's the key thing, is that, yes, he had such great command of science. Why did he do all of that? And the question was around Miraj. So this is the English Miraj, which is when, you know, when you're at a distance, you see something which, and you think it's there, you get there, it's not there. So it used to happen, obviously, in desert travels to people when they thought there was an oasis, a water pool, and when they went, there wasn't.
Sarab, you mean?
Sarab, that's right.
Illusion. I think it's like
an illusion, that's right. So that mirage or illusion, so that was the question to Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala about that. In order to explain it, again, Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he explained refraction of light. And then not just atmospheric refraction, he talked about geometric refraction of light. He talked about theories of light. He talked about laws of light. Then he also talked about how the differential effect of densities of different matters would have impact on the travel of light. He discussed all of that. To, you know, for example, to give you an example, that the distance of the sun from the earth, it takes about 8 minutes and 23 seconds for the sun rays to reach the earth. Because light can travel through space. However, sound can't travel through space. Mm. And there's a difference there. So Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he also discussed the difference between light and sound. And then the famous incidents where that Professor Ziauddin, when he came and he asked him about all these difficult questions from mathematics, one of his departing thoughts was, he said, well, you have such great command. Tell me that, you know, the sun is rising, we can see the twilight, but we can't see the sun.
Mm.
How come that sunrise and the twilight is visible before the sun comes out? So just explain that. And now, obviously, to us, he would have explained perhaps differently, but here it is a professor who's come with this great aura around him. So Sayyidi Ali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said, okay, well, you like experiments. So that's how you learn. Let me demonstrate an experiment for you. So he gets a bowl and he puts a coin in the bowl. And then he asks him to step further to a point where he can't see the coin at the bottom of the bowl. He asks him, can you see this? No. And then he gets some water. He pours water in the bowl. Can you see it? No. Until the time comes when the water has risen, brings the coin with it. And now he is able to see. And he said, yes, now I can see. So he says, what stopped you? The coin was always there. What stopped you seeing it? It was because the rays of light, the way they were refracting through the medium of this bowl around the margins of the bowl and reaching your eye, that was what stopping it. It was always there, but it was just the reflection of light and refraction which stopped you. That's exactly how. The sun is always there, but you see the twilight first until it's reached that level. And this is a beautiful experiment to show it. So he knew exactly how to help people understand. So, you know, having done all of that, he never used science to his own personal advantage, never used science to his personal interest. He gave us the modern thresholds. He told us about how to calculate zakat and how to, using the old system, and then modernizing it. He used all of that, but he always did it with one thing in mind, and that was the Quranic principles. He wanted people to understand that Quran and Sharia, they are our guides. I'm using science to support what Quran and Sharia teaches us. I'm using science to help it make it easy for you so that you know how to read namaz on time, how to keep fasts on time, how to calculate all of that. As long as it stays subordinate to Islam, that is the science I'm the proponent for. And that's what he does. So I think the concern nowadays is that we are so engulfed by this modern science and everything that people think, well, you know, it's a year of science. What has religion got to do with that? Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala showed that is how you read science.
Beautiful.
Is as long as it follows the principles of Islam. That's what our viewers need to understand.
MashaAllah. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, that's all for today. I hope you must have benefited and enjoyed. We'll come back with another beautiful episode of Imam of Ahle Sunnah. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Muhammad Rida, Imam